The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 12, verses 54 to 59. It is page 117 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid every last penny." Hamlet, Othello, King Lear, and Macbeth are referred to as Shakespeare's four great tragedies. The most tragic of them is King Lear. Lear was a king of Britain. He had no wife, but three daughters. His eldest, Goneril, and his second daughter, Regan, were married, and his youngest daughter, Cordelia, had received proposals from two men. Because Lear was in his 80s, he wished to bequeath his kingdom to his daughters and sons-in-law and spend the rest of his life in peace. So he divided his land into three and planned to hand them out after hearing his daughters' declarations of love toward him. Lear's eldest and second daughters wanted the land, but did not love their father much. Only Lear's youngest daughter truly loved him. When he first asked his eldest daughter, she said, "Sir, I love you more than words can wield the matter, dearer than eyesight, space, and liberty, as much as child ever loved or father found, a love that makes breath poor and speech unable, beyond all matter, manner of so much I love." This pleased Lear, and he handed a third of his land to her. When he asked his second daughter, Regan, she said, "Sir, I am made of the same metal that my sister is, and prize me at her worth. Only she comes too short, that I profess myself an enemy to all other joys, which the most precious square of sense possesses, and find I am alone, felicitate in your dear highness's love." This made Lear so happy that he gave his second daughter her share of land as well. The largest piece of the land Lear had divided still remained. Lear asked his youngest daughter, Cordelia, "What can you say to make this land yours?" Cordelia said, "Nothing, my lord." Lear, who was taken aback, said, "If you have nothing to say, you will have nothing to receive," and gave her another chance. Cordelia said, "Good my lord, you have begot me, bred me, loved me. I return those duties back as are right fit, obey you, love you, and most honor you. Why have my sisters, husbands, if they say they love you all, happily? When I shall wed, that lord whose hand must take my plight shall carry half my love with him, half my care and duty. Sure, I shall never marry like my sisters to love my father all. This infuriated Lear, and he divided Cordelia's share to her elder sisters. He declared that he would maintain his status as king, but hand over his power, authority, and income to his two sons-in-law. And he handed his crown to his sons-in-law to take turns wearing it. He said he will have 100 knights and live alternately at his eldest and second daughter's homes. One of the two men that proposed to Cordelia, the king of France, took her to his country, stating he would marry her even though Lear did not provide a dowry. Lear thought he would spend the rest of his life in peace at his daughter's homes. However, Lear was humiliated when he came to his eldest daughter's home. Even Goneril's servant did not respect Lear. Goneril tells her father to reduce the number of knights from 100 to 50. Lear, in fury, says he has another daughter and heads to Regan's home, but she does not even come to greet him. His two daughters tell their father to reduce the number of knights to 25 and then to dissolve his retinue of knights. Lear finally loses his mind, wandering in the fields with a crown of grass on his head. Meanwhile, Goneril and Regan both fall in love with Earl Edmund. Goneril becomes jealous of Regan and poisons her sister and also takes her own life. Cordelia dies after being choked to death by Edmund. Lear hears about the death of his two daughters and cries out in front of his youngest daughter's daughter Cordelia's corpse before he also dies. In scene 4 of Act 1, after Lear fails to judge which of his daughters truly loves him, he says the following. Doth any here know me? This is not Lear. Doth Lear walk thus? Speak thus? Where are his eyes? Either his notion weakens, his discernings are waking? 'Tis not so. Who is it that can tell me who I am? Lear had what he didn't need to have and did not have what he needed to have. He was pretentious, self-righteous, and angry. But he did not have discernment. So he did not know which of his three daughters truly loved him. He became the main character of a tragedy because he did not know that he did not have the ability to properly discern his daughters. Jesus tells us through the passage today how important proper discernment is. Verses 54 to 55 say, he said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is." Due to Korea's topography, a typhoon approaches between July and September. And from mid to late June to mid to late July, we have a monsoon season. When the monsoon season approaches, the Korea Meteorological Administration stays particularly alert. The forecast division's employees work shifts around the clock. Because of Korea's topography, the country experiences different weather conditions according to region. And it is prone to changes in weather conditions due to its latitude. While the agency's accuracy rate of forecasts is over 90%, it often receives complaints that it is unable to achieve a 100% accuracy rate. People jokingly say it rains whenever the KMA plans an outdoor event. However, they say this has never happened. About 20 years ago, the KMA printed on souvenir umbrellas, which said, "It is so difficult to forecast the weather." Due to the development of technology, supercomputers now analyze data to tell the amount of rainfall, where it will rain, and when it will fall and stop. Also, people can check the weather through applications on their phone. People today are unable to tell the weather by looking at the sky. All they can tell is that it will rain if they see dark clouds, and they think they should take their sunglasses out when the sky is clear. However, in ancient times, there were no systems that forecasted the weather, so they predicted the weather based on their experience. The cloud rising in the west referred to clouds coming from the Mediterranean Sea, which held water. So when the clouds came, it usually rained. And the south wind, referred to as Sirocco, a wind that comes from the Sahara, which creates dry and dusty conditions, when the south wind blew, the day was extremely hot. People at the time were able to discern such conditions, and Jesus acknowledged this. However, Jesus called these people hypocrites. Hypocrites are people who wear a mask. Masks hide a person's appearance. The word hypocrite comes from plays in ancient times in which actors wore masks on stage. Actors of today do not wear masks, but wear heavy makeup instead. So it is like a mask when an actor immerses oneself in the character one plays, regardless of the person's actual character. Even if the actor is greedy and selfish, if he or she plays a character who is good, the actor will become a person with a warm heart. We see on TV celebrities volunteering at welfare centers. Some try their best, but others engage in such activities simply for their reputation. When the cameras are rolling, they hold the hands of the elderly and shed tears. But when the cameras leave, they turn away. They are engaging in hypocrisy, wearing a mask. If an actor with a good heart played a bad role, the actor would oppress others with the money or power the role possesses and steal others' property positions, and even lovers. Even if the actor thought this was unethical, the actor would have to immerse oneself in acting out the role until the film or drama is over. This is because this is the mask the actor has taken on. Jesus explains why he referred to the people as hypocrites in verse 56. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? These remarks did not come out of nowhere. There was a dispute that began in chapter 11. Jesus spoke about the two-faced lives and faith of the Pharisees and teachers of law in the dispute with them. When a man came asking Jesus to resolve an inheritance dispute with his brother, he told the man about what he should be preparing for as he lives his life on this earth through a parable of the foolish rich man. He said God remembers the grass that will disappear after serving as a kindling to light a fire, and also knows about the hairs that fall out and grow on a person's head. Above all, he said, God loves man and takes care of him. People knew that they had to accept Jesus' teachings, but they did not do so. Jesus, with pity, called these people who did not live as they knew they should as hypocrites. Verses 57 to 59 tell of what happens when we live without discernment, when we live lives that are irrelevant to God's will. Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you're going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Jesus is not reproaching the people for not being able to judge what is right, but for not judging for themselves what is right. The people did not try to discern for themselves what is right, but relied on the Pharisees or teachers of the law to do so. This is why it is not enough for Christians to merely attend service on Sundays. In order to live a life discerning God's will, we need to face God's words. We need to open the Bible to read the Word. In order to do so, we may come to early morning prayer sessions or attend Bible study. The more we read the Word of God, the greater discernment we will attain. When people needed to attend a trial before a judge, Jesus said they should reconcile before the trial. Jesus also said if anyone was indebted to another person, he or she needed to pay back the total amount. The penny in today's passage refers to lepton, which was the lowest denomination coin circulated at the time. At the time, a day's worth of wages was referred to denarius or drachma. A lepton was a 128th of this. If today a day's worth of wages equaled 128,000 won, a lepton would be 1,000 won. Just as a debtor paying back his debt before standing in court and reconciling with the creditor is the only way for him to prevent going to prison, Jesus tells us that before we stand in the court of God's judgment, we should reconcile with God. This means we must discern the signs, reconcile with God, and live with God as our purpose. I earlier talked about Shakespeare's tragedy, King Lear. The origin of tragedy is traced back to ancient Greece. Ancient Greek tragedies and Shakespeare's tragedies have a distinct difference. The Greek tragedies are ones that cannot be avoided, however hard one tries, because this is fate. An example is Sophocles' Oedipus. Oedipus, who was born to King Polybus and Queen Merope in Corinth, hears one day that his parents aren't his real parents. When he asks his parents about this, they say this isn't true. But when he goes to the temple of Apollo, he hears something shocking, that he would kill his father and marry his mother. In order to prevent this prophecy from coming true, Oedipus lives Corinth for Thebes. On his way, he meets an older man and kills him in a quarrel. The Sphinx, a monster that had been tormenting the people of Thebes at the time, asks a riddle. Which creature has one voice and yet becomes four-footed and two-footed and three-footed? When Oedipus answers correctly, the Sphinx, humiliated, kills himself. Oedipus then wins the throne of the dead king and the king's widow. He searches to find who killed the king of Thebes and discovers that he is the son of the king of Thebes, that the old man he killed was his father, and the queen he married is his mother. His mother kills herself after she realizes she married her son. Oedipus blinds himself with the queen's pins, saying his eyes are of no use if he cannot discern with them. Ironically, however, the oracle who told Oedipus that he was the one who killed his father was actually blind. Oedipus tried to escape his fate, which even the blind oracle knew, but he failed to do so. This is why we refer to the tragedy of Oedipus as a tragedy of fate. Meanwhile, we call Shakespeare's tragedies tragedies of character that arise from flaws of character. King Lear did not meet tragedy because of his fate. It was because he did not have proper discernment. The reason I refer so extensively to works of literature, even though my sermon is not a lecture on literature, is because many Christians live thinking that their lives of faith are similar to what Oedipus thought. What use is it that I make efforts? God will end up doing what he wants anyway. I don't need to pray because everything will happen according to God's will, is what people think. But this is not the way Christians should think. Lives of faith are rather more relevant to the story of King Lear. There are circumstances, environments, and places in our lives that God has granted us. We have the responsibility and duty to discern and interpret these properly. Adam and Eve failed to discern God's word and Satan's words. As a result, they had to leave the Garden of Eden, which was the best environment that God provided them with. David, meanwhile, did not go to war and came across a woman who was bathing. He failed to discern the situation. As a result, he had to see his children kill each other and had to flee because his children staged a coup against him. When the Apostle Paul was Saul, he thought he had the best understanding of the law. But only after he met Christ, who rose from the dead, he realized his life was a series of misjudgments. Only after scales fell from his eyes did he begin living a life that discerned God's will. Developing proper judgment, discernment, is a way for our faith to mature. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." God tells us to discern his will as we live our lives on earth. But there is a condition for us to be able to do so. This is not conforming to the ways of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The Bible's New International Version uses the word conform to refer to follow, and the word transform to refer to undergo change. Con means accord, and trans, change. Form refers to a shape or mold. So it means that we need to change our mold to be able to discern God's will. People of the world live with a mold defined by worldly values. They think possessing more, greater, and fancier things is a definition of success and happiness. However, Christians are people who live with a mold that is defined by truth and life. But many Christians do not seek to change their mold, but to change the color of their dough. Whether the dough is white, red, or yellow, if the mold is the same, the shape of whatever comes out of the mold does not change. God tells us not to conform to the mold of this world, but to change the mold. When a potter makes pottery, The final product is not completed by simply creating shapes with clay, decorating it with engravements, and glazing and drying it. It needs to be baked in a hot oven twice. If its shape is damaged or if it breaks, it cannot become a final product. Even if it appears as a complete product, many have cracks when shining against the light. Similarly, our lives can appear to be intact to others. However, we should shine Christ's light on our lives to see the cracks that exist, to be able to fix them. This is what it means to have proper discernment. In this world, a belief prevails that people can lead sufficiently happy and meaningful lives without God. It tries to lure us to believe that all there is what is visible to the eye, and that living a successful life means having more, having what's greater, and sitting in a greater position. So many people are tied to these worldly values. But the reason we do not lose hope is because God is working without rest for his kingdom that will come. The wind blows today and clouds float across the sky. Various events take place around the world. God is working amid all of this without rest in ways that we cannot fathom. God is with us and is building us together. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to realize that we should not think that there is nothing we can do because you have determined the fate of our lives, but that we should discern your will every moment, wherever we are in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to realize the huge difference between being able to do so and not being able to do so. Do not let our faith and lives collapse by living undiscerning lives, irrelevant of your will, and following worldly values. Speak to us through your word, so that we are able to discern your will when we should, and speak to us in ways we can understand. Let us not distort your will for our own interests. Let us not distort your will to achieve our own desires and interests. Let us embrace your word and put our lives before your word. Let us witness how your word protects our finite lives, even though we may think that we are living according to your word. Let us think about your will when we see the various events that occur in our daily lives, and allow us the wisdom to discern the truth in our daily lives, where various events take place. Let us experience eternal life in this finite world, and allow us the grace to be with you, our eternal God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.